you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. You and I have had some discussions, Val, on the word frustration. It's a common word in people's vocabulary. Mm-hmm. What do you think frustration is?
I think frustration is when we strive to do what we think is right without the Lord's help, without His strength. And I think for many years I was striving to live up to a standard of performance as a mother, being the perfect mother and raising obedient children. I was striving to do it without leaning upon Christ enough or without realizing what Christ had done for me in His obedience to God. And so for many years, I was frustrated. I would renew myself in the Word. When I read the Bible, I felt again that God was my help and God wanted to lead me through the day. And yet, I would, as soon as I left my devotions, I would, in a sense, leave my understanding of the presence of God with me and think that I had to perform, I had to do this right. And I think my standard of the Christian family, and I know you've talked about this, of what your Christian family upbringing was like, my standard and my ideal was the Howard family. And I thought that if I couldn't have the Howard family in our household, or if I couldn't be just like the Howard family, then I was a total failure. And I think this past year, God has been showing me that He loves me, even though my family isn't up to the Howard standard, but that He's not less pleased with me, or He doesn't love me less because I haven't been able to do all that I thought I should do. And I said I was frustrated because I was trying to do it all on my own strength and not asking Him to fill me with His Spirit continually. I mean, I know I had that prayer many times. I, of course, prayed, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. But the understanding of my position in Christ was not being practiced. I might have known it intellectually, but I wasn't living in a relaxed, free, and joyful way because I was so worried that I was being a failure. And my husband would say the same about his ministry. He was always frustrated and angry because he wasn't living in the light of Christ's power and His strength and really abiding in Him. As John 15 says, abide in Me and I in you, and ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. And He says that you can, without Me you can do nothing. And I remember many years ago how much that passage affected me and how much I was thankful to realize that Christ wanted to work through me, and yet for many years I don't think I really put it into practice.
Now, you've used a word that's archaic, this word abide.
Mm-hmm.
And for years I puzzled over that same chapter, 15th chapter of John, wanting, like you, with all my heart, to remain in Christ, to bear fruit. And He keeps saying, if you abide in Me, My words abide in you. And I thought, how exactly do I do this abiding?
Mm-hmm.
He tells us exactly how to do it in verse 10. Do you remember that?
If you obey My commands, you will remain in My love, just as I have obeyed My Father's commands and remain in His love.
So the key to remaining is mm-hmm. simply obedience.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, we face the fact that we do disobey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you read the Song of Solomon very much, Val?
No, I haven't read it for quite a while.
I would recommend that to you and to our listeners because it is a love song, and it's not only a real down-to-earth love song that talks about physical love as well mm-hmm. as spiritual love, but it has many analogies for the spiritual
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that God says to us just those things that the lover says to the beloved mm. in the Song of Solomon, Thou art all fair, my love.
Mm.
There is no spot in thee. I read about one of the great saints of the 19th century. I've forgotten whether it was Andrew Murray, might have been Andrew Murray or Hudson Taylor or somebody, who read the Song of Solomon every week of his life. It does remind us of our place in Christ.
Yes.
Also, another very comforting scripture is, while we were yet sinners,
Christ
died for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our righteousness that puts us in the right position with God, because none of us has any.
No, I think it's our acceptance of our sinfulness, that when we recognize and acknowledge before Him that we are totally helpless and totally selfish, when we recognize that we are accepted before God. He says He loves a contrite spirit, and that's what He wants us to bring to Him all the time.
And that's something that we can make an offering, a humble and a contrite heart. Now, I remember one morning when my phone rang and it was you on the other end with that catch in your voice that made me realize that you were probably crying and you wanted some help. And you had told me that you were trying to shape your life by that great rule, do the next thing, which has so greatly simplified my life and yours too, I think. But on this particular occasion, you didn't know what the next thing was.
Right, I had too many next things.
They all seemed to be equally important and demanding. So you told me that what you had simply done was to just get down on your knees and say, Lord, show me. So could you take off from that point, Val, and give us some clues about exactly how we go about drawing Christ's strength?
It has to be a prayer. It doesn't always have to be down on your knees that you go to ask Christ for help immediately. But it does have to be an immediate quietness in the heart where we say, Lord, I'm helpless here. I don't know what to do. Please give me your wisdom. Please show me right now what is the next thing to do. And I believe that the immediate answer, the immediate thought that comes to our minds most often is God's answer to us, and sometimes we wait and think, well, no, that was just my mind thinking that. At least my mind goes back and forth questioning whether that was me saying that or was that God saying that. But I've found that in those times when I have really tried to be quiet and still, the first answer that comes is what God's telling me to do next. And so if I get up and do it right away, I have His strength and I have His help to do that, and then it seems to fall clearly what the next thing is after that. A couple of months ago, my husband and all the children were gone except for Theo, and Theo was taking a nap, and I had three big things that I felt I needed to get done before the children came home, and I really didn't know which was most important to do first. And so I did get down on my knees again, and I asked Him to show me what it was, and it was just amazing to me that as soon as I got up and began to do the thing that I felt was most important, because I felt He'd given me the wisdom right then, that thing got done, the next thing got done, the next thing got done, all in good time. And as I looked back on it, I thought if I had tried the third thing first, there wouldn't have been time to get that first thing done but right before the family came home. So I just believe it's just a continual quieting our hearts before Him, not chattering and talking back and forth, but just really trying to hear what He wants us to do. And the Spirit prompts us to do the next thing. And there's such a joy and a freedom in accepting the fact that He is present. He is a very present help in time of trouble. He does want to show us what the next thing is. He's not silent. It may seem that He's silent sometimes, and yet sometimes just our own common sense will show us the next thing if we sit and get quiet about it first. And it's really the Lord, I believe, the Lord is leading us and guiding us.
Well, I can't tell you how encouraged I am to hear you say these things, Val. There are things that I, too, am learning. I'm still learning and still having to consciously put them into practice. But it is a wonderful and most liberating concept. Do the next thing. God never gives us more than one thing to do at a time. And He always gives us enough time to do what He needs done, what He knows we need to do.
Can I say, Amy Carmichael said in one of her books that if we would get up in the morning and think to ourselves, all I have to do today is to please the Father, It's not all these things I have to do. But on the other hand, it's all I have to do is to please the Father. And to trust Him to lead me through the day is such freedom and such rest. As Elizabeth Lasker says, I'm sitting in the lap of God's sovereignty, and He is leading me step by step, one thing at a time. And this quietness of spirit is so important. This God says, sit still and know that I am God. And there's another place where it says, sit still and see the salvation of the Lord. And He wants us to watch His power at work and not strive to do it in our own strength.
These are things that I wanted to teach you, and it's so clear to me that we try to fulfill our responsibilities as parents, but in the long run, we have to realize that God is the one who finally does the teaching. He
right.
gives us a part to play, and a very important part to play.
Mm-hmm.
But you have learned lessons from the Lord that I know I didn't even know myself, and we're both still learning the same lessons.
Mm.
The past month just happens to have been the kind of month in which I was sure that I couldn't possibly get everything done. And I remember the time that you reminded me when I was moaning and groaning about having too much to do. Well, Mama, you have to do what you taught me. Do the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Val, for exemplifying and also reminding me of some of these concepts that you and I both know are true.
Mm-hmm.
But
thank
we
you.
Need the help of each other and the help of God.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.